you updated on all things Jefferson College athletics from your favorite athletes, coaches, and staff.
Ultimate goal is, hey, we want to be playing our best baseball at the end of the season, and that's what it is, and it's part of the process. But those are just some team goals that we have each year. Heck yeah, we want to go be playing the Grand Junction.
Everyone is really kind of all in now and understand what we need to do, and that's been a great momentum lift for us as we've moved this past week.
We have a lot of international players on the team, and once we come together as a team, it's just a fun experience. It's just amazing.
A win's a win in the book, so it doesn't really matter. We just go up from here for sure. See them again in regional and make sure we play much better.
We feel if we get 50 wins, then we're in a position to be playing to go to the national tournament.
I always tell her that the baseball team's the big dogs on campus, but she likes to think the softball team's the big dog on campus, so we get into that a little bit.
My roommates and I, well, specifically Taylor, we like Justin Bieber. We really like him, but D calls that our white girl music because we listen to that in the car and stuff, and if she has to ride with us, she's turn that off.
I can say I love Taco Bell. It changed my life. Yeah, I got better.
Now to your host of the Viking Voices show, Will Cheshire.
Good afternoon. That time of week yet again for the Viking Voices show here from Jefferson College. You know, we've been talking so much baseball and softball recently, and obviously that makes a lot of sense because it's baseball and softball season, but also going on right now, the transition. Soccer as well, getting set and ready to go. And we're joined now by co-head coach, Coach Bob Bartolone of the soccer team. And Coach, first off, just thanks for taking some time out of your afternoon to come on and speak with us.
Oh, it's no problem.
And then, Coach, I understand that you guys got an opportunity to get an exhibition game in recently.
Yes, we played McKendree University over in Lebanon, and they have nice facilities. They recruited a couple of our players, Luke Schlichting and Matt Moran. So they're going to be attending over there and playing soccer over there. And it was an opportunity for that coach to see, because he's also a new coach, got to see a couple of our other players, and he's interested in a couple of our other players. So it was a good opportunity for our players. And the fact that they played well helped out.
Yeah, so probably boost their chances a little bit.
Yeah, sure
did. You're going to play well. So you talk all the time about trying to get those guys prepared for the next level and to give them an opportunity, you know, in the spring when they're maybe not quite full at 100% level, to give them a chance to showcase. How important is that?
Oh, it's very important. It's important for them to understand. I've explained to them, because I've been there before, not necessarily what you do with the ball, because you can run the statistics for it, that you may only handle the ball for maybe a total of 2 minutes out of a 90-minute game. So what do you do with the other 88 minutes that you're on the field? And that's what the talented and seasoned coaches look at, see what you do off of the ball. And so a couple of our players he was impressed with and would like to have them over there at their university. So I think they slowly understand that, and the ones that understand it, they'll be easily recruitable.
That's terrific. And then, Coach, how about for yourself? You and Coach Alex Ochoa next fall, or I guess right now, you guys have taken over as the co-head coaches. So how is that kind of transition going for you two?
Transition's going good. We just continually communicate with one another back and forth as far as our recruits go, who's coming in, who's on scholarship, who's not. And then typically I talk to them a little bit about the training that's going on. I've set the starting schedule or starting lineups in each of the games and probably continue to do so. But then what happens then is Alex and I will talk during the match as far as making substitutions or making changes for players. And we go along, you know, we just go along with each other to say, hey, we think that'll work or that'll work. So it's not an ego driven. It's just trying to get the best out of the boys so that we can put W's up on the board. So
yeah, does it help that you two have also known each other for a little while now, so you guys kind of know your strengths and whatnot, can bounce it off each other?
I think so. It's helped in the past that we can communicate with each other. Alex works in a business and where he has to be organized and managed and manage people and talk to people. And I've been in that situation in prior life systems of myself. So we understand about there's a yin and yang about things, you know. So once you understand that, well, I can't have it always my way. It's got to be this way. So we understand compromise and how to get along.
And Coach, just tell us a little bit about the returners coming back, the guys that, because obviously the roster not completely solidified yet, but the guys that you do know coming back, what are your thoughts on them?
They're learning, ongoing, and you can tell that they have adapted to the system fairly well. I believe I like Ricardo's system of possession, passing the ball, holding on to it, know when to attack, when not to attack. And you can really tell the difference from their freshman year to their spring freshman year that they finally picked up those concepts. And it you can really see it out on the field. And they've gotten to know each other a little bit better. So they're a little bit more of a cohesive unit. So that's very, very encouraging.
Yeah, from what you saw this last fall, what are some of the priorities that you're looking to do in terms of making the team better for next year?
We have to pick up a couple of strikers, people that can finish the ball. We have to get a couple players that are motivators on the field and develop our bench. I'm a firm believer in developing our bench. It shows that, you know, hard work and some dedication will get you out onto the field.
Yeah, and I imagine as part of that, even the guys that may not get as many minutes, they're really important for practice, correct?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I tell the players that you practice, you're going to play how you practice. So if you goof off at practice, I see that. I don't have to put you out on the playing field. We got 25 players. We're allowed to have 25 players. There's only 11 on the field, so I got 14 substitutions. So it's the bottom line. You're just trying to get the best out of those players.
You mentioned trying to get some guys out there that are motivational, kind of on there on the field and upright. Have you seen anybody that kind of has stepped up in the leadership role?
Freshman-wise, they're still trying to find their way. But my approach this spring has been to put a situation out there and I let them play or I'll let them do an exercise or and then since you can't do it in a real game, a soccer match, I call a timeout and I say, okay guys, this is I want you guys to get together. I want you guys to come up with a solution to what's going on the field. And I'll tell you what I see. I see that you guys are not deep. You guys aren't covering for one another. What are you going to do to change that? I'll go to the other group that's playing. I'll go through and I say, hey, tell me what you think's going on. And then they'll explain it, and I'll go, what is your solution to that situation, that problem? Because, and I tell them I'm doing it this way this year because I can't be out on the field. And by time we tell a player something when they're out on the field, it's already passed. So they have to learn to think for themselves and come up with solutions to problems that may occur. It's not like American football per se where you have set plays. Okay, we're going to do this, all timeout. You know, quarterback says, oh, I don't see something I like. They have to do things on the fly, and they have to adjust, make adjustments. They have to make adjustments to the field. We practice one day where the field is kind of muddy and slick, and yet they continue to want to play a certain way. And I said, guess what? You're going to have to play in situations where the field is not perfect and you're going to have to adjust your game that way. So things of that nature, you're going to have to adjust to the officials. You're going to have to adjust to the other team sometimes if they have certain talented players that you have to mark up or you have to take personal care of to make sure that they don't are the game changers for the game.
So did you say that the spring and the off season, a large part of that work is really just to develop soccer IQ and things of that nature?
I think so. Because the conditioning, you can't really get it in. Conditioning, we're only allowed to interact with the players for 8 hours a week. So you depend on them to do their own fitness. And so in an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, 4 hours, because if you got a match, that's 5 hours of contact. So you have to watch out for that. So you have to get them to think and develop them for themselves and also within the system that we're trying to implement. And whether system, I mean formation, you know, if 4-3-3, 4-4-2, 3-5 to, we're just trying to teach them what we're looking for so that they can make the adjustments on the fly.
Right on. Hey, Coach Bartolone, thanks very much for taking some time out of your afternoon, catching up with us a little bit about the soccer team.
Okay, and listening about baseball stories.
He already teased the next segment. Baseball's coming up next. That's head soccer coach here at Jefferson College, Coach Bob Bartolone, joining us here on the Viking Voices show here on 1400 KJFF. Welcome back into the Viking Voices show here on 1400 KJFF. Great to hear from assistant head soccer coach, or co-head soccer coach, I should say, Coach Bob Bartolone, along with Alex Ochoa, catching up on the soccer team. But now it's time to switch back into the diamond. We got baseball for us right now, joined now by freshman Bailey Volstecki. And Bailey, hey, thanks very much for coming on. Are you guys get a practice in today?
You know, a quick little light practice, just BP and pitchers field and practice, just the basics to keep fresh.
And Bailey, I know for you, you've got an opportunity to get on out on the diamond for the first time in a few weeks. How was that yesterday, getting out again on the mound?
It was awesome. It was really tough just sitting there watching the team. You know, do you always want to contribute? And it sucked because I was really early in the season. I was able to contribute pretty well. And then it just like that, season was kind of put on delay for a little bit, so it was nice to get back out there for sure.
Yeah, obviously you had the bicep tendonitis a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the process of how that kind of heals up a little bit. Is that more just kind of you wait and see type deal? Is it rehab with it? Just tell us a little bit about how that works.
It's a lot of rest, which is brutal, but it's what you got to do, and rest and ice and every day, and just that's about it. That's all you can really do.
You feeling pretty good with it now?
Yeah, I feel strong now. Yeah.
So you got the opportunity to get out there on the mound. What did you think of that first outing back?
Well, I had a relief appearance about a week ago, but didn't go too hot. But the start went well. I mean, once I was able to settle in after a few innings, you know, it went well. So I feel like I'm back to normal.
Yeah, you went 5 innings in the game, correct?
Yep.
So, Bailey, tell us a little bit about the stuff you got out there on the mound. First off, you right or left-handed?
Left-handed.
A lefty, the guy that bothers everybody, right?
Yeah.
And what do you throw?
I throw a fastball, a traditional curveball, and a forkball, a splitter.
A forkball and a splitter, huh?
Well, it's like, forkball and splitter, kind of, it's one pitch, but
yeah.
Okay.
How'd you develop that pitch? Because that one isn't as common, especially with left-handers, you don't see it a whole lot.
Yeah, it was just kind of one of those things, you're messing around throwing with your buddies, and one time I just stuck it between my fingers, and I threw it, and I was like, hey, that's pretty good. And I started working on it, and something now I rely on a lot.
Yeah, how's the velocity difference in terms from your fastball to that pitch?
It's usually 6 or 7 miles an hour slower, about some around that area. So.
Okay, so you kind of use that as almost a little deception?
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, Bailey, for you, you're a freshman this year as well. So how did that fall season go in that first beginning transition to college ball after high school ball?
Yeah, it was definitely new because in high school, you know, you can just throw strikes, and if you do that, a lot of times you can be successful, but you get to college, and if you throw it down the middle over the plate, it's going to get whacked, doesn't matter who it is, so learn how to really command rather than control.
Does it help when you have a lot of experienced sophomores on the roster, especially on the pitching staff?
Yeah, definitely. Guys like Spencer Juergens and Troy Newell are definitely guys I could talk to and learn a lot from, so.
Yeah, what types of advice do they kind of give you, young guys? Is it more just trying to handle the collegiate to high school level jump, or do they help you with your pitch repertoire and things like that?
It was more just day-to-day stuff, you know, preparation and things you do off the field, maybe, before you throw, after you throw, stuff like that, just little things that help you transition to college.
Yeah, what were some of the biggest things that you started to work on after the fall season and through the winter to prep you for the spring?
I learned real quick that the biggest progress you can make is in the weight room. So I really focused on getting in the weight room, getting stronger as much as I could before the season started, because that's a big thing, is moving on to the next level.
Absolutely. That's always the goal, right? Play as long as that left arm will take
definitely,
you, huh?
Definitely.
Bailey, obviously, let's talk a little bit about the team, because the team, 20-4 in their last 24 ball games. The offense been speaking for itself, but definitely getting lost within that offense is how well the pitching's been there all year, but you guys, when you get it out there on the mound, I know you personally haven't been there for a couple of weeks, but as a starter, when your team is fronting you 6, 7, 8 runs, how much easier does that make your job?
Oh, it makes it a lot easier knowing that like I put up some runs behind you, you know, so if you give a runner too early, you're all right, just stay on them and let your team get back in it and rely on your defense behind you too.
Yeah, does the mentality kind of change a little bit when you have that much of a lead out there on the mound, or is it kind of the same attack the hitters?
I like to attack the hitters all the time, but especially when you got a lead by a few runs. I mean, walking people is the biggest way to let them back in the game.
Yeah, nobody likes free passes. Bailey, what are you studying here?
I'm studying economics.
Awesome. What kind of led you to that field?
You seen the movie Moneyball?
I have.
Yeah, the guy, Pete, he's an economics major, and that's something that kind of persuaded me. And Bill Belichick is one of my idols in sports, and he was an economics major too. So.
Yeah, well, Bill Belichick's a good guy to model some success after.
Definitely.
A mastermind. So I imagine then, just based off what you said about Belichick and then after Pete and Moneyball, that your plan is to get into some type of front office and sports?
Definitely. That's kind of a dream of mine, something to do something like that.
Baseball, preferably, I imagine?
Yeah, preferably, yeah.
Okay, so is a lot of that, you think, the front office baseball operations, like general manager, or some of it you think you might want to do scouting?
Something more personnel, like general manager. I mean, stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, so are you big on all the analytics then?
Oh, yeah, I'm huge on that. I'm people don't know, I'm kind of a nerd. I'm a baseball nerd, just about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you got all the war and the defensive war and all that,
sabermetrics? I pay attention to all that stuff.
Oh, okay. So what did you think of Jason Hayward's contract then? Because that contract was like the definition of a sabermetrics player.
I think he's overpaid, but that's just me.
Okay, all right.
I might be biased there.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, not far from here.
Yeah, I grew up in Oakville, a little town called Oakville, South County. And, I went to high school there. So I got some family in Jefferson County, too. So I've been around Jefferson County a lot growing up.
So are you pretty familiar with the Viking baseball program then?
I got to sophomore, junior high school. I learned about it and familiar with it. So
yeah, take us through a little bit of how that recruiting process kind of went down for you.
Coach Evers was the guy that called me a lot. He was one thing I liked about him was he would call me and just check up on me. It wasn't just about baseball. He would check up on me and just talk to you. So I could tell he cared. That's the big reason that I came here.
And then for you, going back to the baseball diamond and how well you guys have been playing, the goal, I imagine, all year, I know at the beginning of the year you guys had the kind of grind to Grand Junction kind of mentality. What do you think has been the biggest key to you guys really finding your rhythm and finding your stride here in the last, I guess, two-thirds of the season?
Yeah, I think just being consistent with our preparation and being ready and having the same energy every day is kind of something – we rely on, we always say it's part of it. So if, you go through tough times, it's just part of it. That's kind of baseball. So you just kind of keep grinding and, get hot at the right time, hopefully, and make it around the playoffs.
So imagine a big part of that then is all the guys staying loose and the confidence being high then in the dugout.
Yeah, definitely. It's something I think we like to focus on is having fun when we play. When you're all tense, you don't play so well. But when you're loose and just having fun, it's a good time.
Awesome. And then, Bailey, last couple questions for you. Who do you live with here on campus? Do you live here or
I live back here on campus.
South County? Okay.
I live here. I live with Raul Gizabel, an infielder, Cole Milam, another pitcher, and Christian Stelling, another pitcher.
Christian, okay. And he grew up in Imperial,
yeah,
so not too far away from you. Did you guys ever play each other?
I played with all of them, actually, growing up in summer ball, yeah. So I knew all of them growing up. Raul went to Oakville, too, so he's been my best buddy since about fourth grade. So.
Oh, okay. So you guys had some battles back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys ever play against each other in terms of pitching and hitting? I imagine you guys both did.
We have an inter-squad and stuff. I mean, growing up, not really.
Not really.
On the same team. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. No Little League different rosters?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. So unlike the Cody and Ryan type team.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Bailey, anything you'd like to add here coming up? What's the key kind of you guys resume Region 16 play tomorrow? What's going to be the key for you down the stretch to kind of find that rhythm and finish on a strong note?
Honestly, I focus on trying to get back to where I was before I got injured. And I think as a team, it's just kind of keep doing what we're doing and just keep grinding.
Get awesome. Out. Hey, Bailey, thanks very much for taking some time out of your afternoon speaking with us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
That's freshman left-hander Bailey Volstecki joining us here on the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF. Step aside for a short timeout. We come back, we'll hear from head coach Pat Evers. Back in here to the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF, keeping things on the baseball diamond. Joined now by head coach of the Vikings, Coach Pat Evers. And Coach Evers, first and foremost, obviously the guy's been playing well, had an opportunity to speak with you on a pretty regular basis. And really this is kind of what we almost expected at the beginning of the year when we had some talks about with the offense.
Yeah. I think it was just kind of waiting for those guys to break through, and we had some, a number of things looking back. You had some guys that were just kind of slow getting out of the gate, and a couple of guys that were banged up, dealt with some off-season surgeries that were just a little slow getting started. And, it's been nice to kind of, you look at past years, and you always want to get off to as good a start as you possibly can. But, it's kind of right on track, or a game or two better than we were last year and where we've been in the past. So, I mean, the big thing is to make sure keep it going, and when it gets to May, you're playing your best baseball.
Yeah, and Coach, you mentioned the injuries and people, or players, I should say, trying to get back with that. And one big guy that you mentioned the other day was Justin Dearden. He transferred over from East Carolina, had three home runs in that series recently. So he certainly seems like he's starting to click.
Yeah. Justin's obviously a super talented, physical left-handed bat, and someone when we were recruiting him when he was going through the transfer process that we knew exactly kind of what kind of. It was a middle-of-the-lineup, left-handed bat that could provide some offense, and he's a very good athlete. He runs well, throws well, and it was just he fell early on in the season. Heck, he kind of had a injury where he got hurt at the end of the fall in a game. Ended up having to have off-season surgery and was kind of slow getting out of the gate. But you knew eventually you just kind of had to keep riding it, and eventually finally all kind of came together and it's really clicked and he's really swung it well.
And Coach, we've been talking all about the offense recently, and with how many runs you guys have scored, double-digit runs, and the majority of the games that you guys have played so far, especially in those wins, but the pitching has been there pretty much all year long for you guys as well. So how nice is that, especially at this point in the season, to know when you're going to throw out one of those three or four guys in the rotation, you're going to get a really good start?
It's been great. And heck, I don't know if, you keep your fingers crossed, it always keeps going. But, I think that was the one thing just coming back. You knew you had two guys that were kind of proven that have done it with Newell and Juergens, and then Creed kind of had, a typical freshman year. There was some good, some bad, and, he came back and really got better. And then, those other guys have really stepped up and done well, thrown out of the bullpen in the different situations. And Josh Ray coming in and having a spot start, and Billy Volsecki coming out and kind of getting back on track. So I think we always like the depth of the pitching staff. I probably, if you had asked me at the beginning of the year, if I thought it was going to be a sub-3 ERA and a team's hitting .230 off of us, I probably wouldn't have guessed it. But there's still time left in the season, and the biggest thing we need to do as a team and as a coaching staff is just make sure we kind of weather the storm and keep guys healthy and make sure that we don't kind of it's great to be playing good in April. It's a lot better to be playing at the end of the day. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't. I mean, we're going to be playing our best baseball in May.
Yeah, you talk about that, and I know what you've in the coaching staff you just mentioned, but something you guys have put a big emphasis on as well is in those midweek games, throwing in those spot starts or having a designated game, you're going to throw four or five guys and mix up the lineup. So how important is that for those guys? So when you get into May and, forbidding, hopefully this doesn't happen, but an injury or anything like that, that you're comfortable enough to throw those guys in.
Yeah, it's big. And I think we always like the depth of the staff, and the thing early on that you always struggle with just because you're playing weekends only, you don't really have as many of those midweek games, is that you just keep, when starters are doing well, you don't have as many opportunities to get those guys innings. And then, especially when you get off kind of the, kind of 500 start, you want to keep guys going and get regular work, and some of those guys don't get the regular time. But I think that's the biggest thing. At this point in the season, you usually get 40 games in, and hey, guys will have little nicks and nags, and guys get tired, guys get worn down, and it is kind of the opposite before. You're playing every weekend, and guys are ready to go for it. Now you're playing every other day, and you're playing doubleheaders, and guys get worn down a lot easier. So I think we just got to continue to do a good job of mixing up the innings, mixing up the at-bats, and keeping our guys fresh and not wearing them down too much before May.
Coach, you mentioned, we just talked about the pitching staff, but one thing that stood out to me as well is at the beginning of the year, you said that the defense was probably going to be the most improved part of the team, and certainly we've seen that for the most part. How great is that to tag along with that pitching, knowing that especially the left side of the infield with guys like Hovey and Mantle, and then Negron at second base too, how healthy is that to know that the infield is going to be as solid as it is in the outfield?
No, it's huge. It's, I think it directly obviously ties together how well we pitched it, not just because, if you look at earned runs and unearned runs and things like that, but it's just the plays being made and the guys getting out of an inning on, 13 pitches instead of throwing 20 pitches, and all of a sudden how that helps getting another inning there and keeping guys fresh and being sharper longer. And, the more pitchers a guy throws in an inning, usually the worse he does. And we've been able to kind of keep it at, 14, 15, 16 pitch innings and turning it over and getting guys in. And, it's been just the plays that get made, the balls that they get to, and just eliminating the mistakes. I think that was one point of emphasis that we had in the fall is just, hey, you know, we don't have to sit there and make the spectacular play, but just do a better job limiting base runners, limiting free bases, you know, making guys score. Hey, if they reach first base, you know, making them still go, you know, another 270 feet before they score instead of giving the wild pitch or a guy moves a third on an error or something like that. So I think that's been the biggest thing. It's hard. You know, you make teams score, have three singles to beat you, and, you know, we haven't walked many guys. We haven't given up many free bases, and, you know, it's hard for anybody to go out there. And, you know, most big innings are tied in. There's a walk in there. There's an error in there, and that's what we've been able to prevent.
Coach, going forward, I imagine it must be kind of difficult to find negative things to look at when you go 20-4 in your last 24 games. But is there anything that you see that you want to kind of finish up and touch up a little bit so when you guys turn over this month and get going into May that you are at your best?
You know, I think the biggest thing, there's things you can, heck, we had a game yesterday, we kind of had a clunker against Lewis and Clark where we just didn't swing it and offensively didn't do a very good job against an arm that I think we should have scored a few runs off of. But, you know, the biggest thing is we need to just do is just continue to take care of our bodies and take care of our arms and just making sure we're getting the rest. And, you know, because it's a grind and, you know, it's always fun, you know, playing baseball and no one's ever going to complain about it, but it still is some long days when you consider it's, you know, traveling and playing 16 innings with a 7-9 doubleheader and then coming back late at night and doing homework and school stuff and study hall and getting up the next morning for going to class. It's easy to sit there from the outside when you're not doing it and say, oh, that's not that hard. Hey, that's easy. But, you know, as you're going through it and, hey, those bodies break down, guys, hey, need to make sure they're getting enough sleep and staying on top of academics and all those other things that usually it all kind of comes crashing in. It seems like from this time of year until May when they get through with finals, it's almost, hey, we're playing almost every other day, and, you know, these guys still have academics to take care of, class to take care of. So, I mean, it's really you know, taking advantage of the days off is what we need to do and make sure our guys get plenty of rest.
Absolutely, particularly when you're playing double headers most of the time as well.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I remember we had Nate Gordo transfer back a few years back from Wichita State, and it was, you know, they on Division I level, especially in the Missouri Valley Conference, and as big time of a level that is. I mean, you're not playing a doubleheader really ever unless there's a weird rain out or something like that, but, you know, it's a long day when, you know, typical day with, you know, especially traveling sometimes, you know, you're getting up at, you're leaving at 8 in the morning in a bus, you're traveling in a couple hours, you're getting off, you're taking BP, you're playing the game, and you're going, you're on your feet from, you know, when that game starts and moving around from, you know, with BP in the game for, you know, 8 straight hours, and then all of a sudden you're getting on a bus and riding two hours back and then getting home, and, you know, I got homework to do and I got this to do. So, I mean, it's easy to look on the outside, hey, that doesn't sound too bad, but if you do it every other day, it does get to a point it kind of wears you down, and, you know, we just got to make sure we take care of our bodies.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to watching you guys close off the month of April on a positive note to then get things going into postseason baseball here coming up soon.
Absolutely. It's starting to be the fun time of year.
Awesome. All right. Hey, Coach Evers, thanks very much.
All right. Thanks.
Head coach of the Vikings baseball program, Coach Pat Evers, joining us here on the Viking Voices show. We'll switch gears, go to softball. We come back on 1400 KJFF. Welcome back into the Viking Voices show here on 1400 KJFF. We've done a little soccer today, some baseball. Now we got softball. Sophomore Paige Kurtz joining us here on the Viking Voices show. Paige, how are we feeling today?
Feeling good. We got to practice right now. It's hot. So.
Yeah, but it's not too hot.
Yeah, it's not too hot, but we got up early today, 6:30, to run a little bit.
No Happy Tony yesterday?
No Happy Tony
yesterday.
Okay,
so you talk about the doubleheader yesterday. You guys lose in the first game, but bounce back in a big way in game two and get a big win as well. So just what did you think of the doubleheader?
The first game was definitely not us. A lot of things went wrong that we've struggled a little bit, but we definitely came back and we were back on top the second game, but it just wasn't enough for our conference play, and we needed to win both games to be set there in that position that we wanted to be in. And now it's a little rocky from here on out. We can't mess up anymore.
And that set position's first place, right?
Yes.
Awesome. You guys right back at it tomorrow, though, in a familiar opponent. You guys have already played them once, St. Charles, mm-hmm. Correct?
Yes, they're a pretty tough component when it comes down to it. We're usually neck and neck. I don't know if it's because we know a lot of us know a lot of them, so it's that competitive edge we got going, but it's usually pretty good games.
Okay, so you guys have a little friendly rivalries with some of
yeah.
the players on there?
Yeah, well, I know me and Kaylee were both from the St. Charles area. We're like 10 minutes out from there. So a lot of our friends from high school and close by go there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got a little bragging rights.
Yeah,
on
a little bit, a little bit.
We'll hear from Kaylee Sheridan here in just a few moments as well. But Paige, how do you think your season's gone as a whole personally?
Personally, I've definitely had my ups and downs. At the beginning of the season, I didn't start much. And then Tony gave me that opportunity to DH, and I went in there and I did what I had to get done, and I've been in that DH spot, and we've been just struggling hitting a little bit. So me being on it, he's trying to put me in the field. I've struggled a little bit out there. My hitting stayed pretty consistent, but I've been pleasant with my playing, but I definitely could be doing better.
You've been playing a little shortstop.
Yeah.
Is that a natural position for you?
Third is usually my natural position. I've played first, second, and shorts is where I'm pretty much set right now. So,
okay, then let's talk about your abilities at the plate, because you've been hitting really well for the most part. I know when I'm out there calling the games, you're a big part of that offense too. So what have you? What's your approach when you go out there to hit?
Well, like I told Maddie Hart, I just said me and her were talking and she was like, Paige, I don't know what I'm doing. Please, just like, what do you do? And I'm like, Maddie, I didn't start at the beginning. I don't, like, I went up there with the approach, like, what's going to happen if you don't get on? You're going to be in the same position you were before. So when you just need to keep working hard, when you get that next chance, just go up there and say, I'm going to kill it out there. Like, that's your chance, and you're going to get another one if you do mess it up. So you just got to go up there with an open mind, just try to drive the ball.
So I imagine then, the biggest part of it then was obviously the adjustment mentally, nothing really mechanically.
Yeah.
And then let's go a little off topic, off of the softball diamond here a little bit, because I've had a chance to talk with a lot of you guys and get to know who are some of the loudest on the team and who can sing, and you fall into that loud category.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I told Libby Marco before I came up here, I said, just wait, Libby, you better be listening to this radio when you get back to your dorm, because I would definitely say that I am the second loudest behind Abby Myers, who is my roommate, so I would know how loud she is. Yes.
So who's the other roommate with you?
Shelby Clark and Aaron Lofton.
Okay, now are they more quiet or are they also loud?
When we're all together, we're all pretty loud. Aaron's usually quiet by herself, but we try to get her out of her shell.
Oh, okay. So I imagine there might be some times where Aaron's sitting in the apartment kind of going a little crazy.
Yeah, she'll be in her room, just listening to her music, and she listens to, like, hard rock, so I'll walk in there, and I remember she's been locking her door lately, and Taylor Dames came up to me, and she said, do you know why Aaron locks her door? I'm like, no, why? She said, you barge in all the time, and I was like, really, Aaron, are you serious? She was so mad at me.
Do you blame her?
No, I guess not, but sometimes you don't even realize, like, Abby, we'll all have our doors closed, and she'll come in and start screaming. I'll walk out of my room. She goes, oh, I didn't even know you guys were in here. I'm like, we're not practicing. Where else would we be? She comes in screaming.
The common sense, is that where you're going?
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, Abby, if you ever.
And then, Paige, what are you studying here at Jeffco, sophomore this year?
Well, right now, I'm just giving my Associate of Arts, and then I'm going to UMSL from here. I don't think I'm going to play ball, and I'm just going to try to do business.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Anything specific within business that you want to do?
Marketing. I'm obviously loud, so I like communicating with people. So
good. You're good with your social person.
Yeah, so I think that'll be good for me.
Awesome. And then, Paige, going forward for the Vikings back on the softball field, what are you guys going to have to do to get back to that consistent winning?
Basically, we just need to start meshing as a team more. We're definitely breaking up a little bit. Like, you can just tell when we're with each other, there's like groups of four, groups of five, groups of four. Like, we're not, it just doesn't feel like a family right now. So we definitely just need to get back in our groove. And I know we will. It'll take some time, and then we'll just start hitting, getting together, and we'll be back out there winning.
Need a big team bonding exercise.
Yeah, we do. Kate O'Day actually said we should have a big water balloon fight, just hit whoever we dislike the most, and then we'll be done with it.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. That could work.
Yeah, and then I'll just end it there.
Hey, Paige, thanks very much coming on. We appreciate it. That's sophomore Paige Kurtz joining us here for the Viking Voices Show. Up next, got another sophomore, Kaylee Sheridan. That's coming your way next.
Whoa.
Welcome back in. Last segment of the Viking Voices show here on KJF. Just spoke with Paige Kurtz. Now we're speaking with Kaylee Sheridan. Also, I'm told, as well as The Flash. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that stark reminder there on Twitter looking at it under that. So tell me how that name, The Flash, kind of came about.
I mean, just last year, we just started off right off the bat just running. And I was obviously one of the slowest people there. And someone brought it up, and they're just saying how slow I was, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm the Flash," and just stuck.
Are you a comic book fan?
No.
No, okay, all right, just the Flash. You know, sometimes there could have been a connection, but
yeah.
For you yourself, I know that you came off a nice weekend too. You hit, or actually, was it Tuesday? You hit the home run.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday. So how nice was that to get the bat going a little bit for you?
Definitely feels a lot better, like a weight lifted off my shoulders.
Very cool. And just tell us a little bit about your approach at the plate.
I mean, just like clear my mind. Before I was just like all tensed up and just like calming down and like just hitting the ball, just making it simple.
Yeah, just not overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kaylee, what do you think has been the biggest, when you look back at the beginning of the season and then to where you guys are now, where do you think the biggest improvements have been?
Definitely fielding. I like how we've started to like cheer each other on. We're not just like an individual person, we're a team, and we've gotten a lot better with that, but we just need to take it a little step farther to actually like become one team.
Who are the big leaders on the team in terms of vocalizing?
Taylor Dane's always a good one on the field. She always likes to talk. Libby's on the outfield. She's always cheering on the outfield, telling them where to go. And Shelby, she's always there to like tell us what's going on, just give us the blunt truth and let us know what's going on.
Okay. I also am curious as well, because I didn't really fully understand how loud you guys are out in the dugout and how encouraging and positive you guys are as well. Because, you know, when I'm at the games, usually I'm up with the headset on, you know, doing the broadcasting. But when I came out and watched just as a spectator the other day, you guys got, I think, 6-7 different rallying kind of cheers going and things of that nature. So who comes up with that? Who comes up with the rhyming in that? Is it just like a team-based thing?
Yeah, it's from last year, just like fun little things that we've grown up with. Like all through softball, you just have cheers, and we just have them. Just keep it up. Like everyone knows them. Everyone's going to sing it to them. It just keeps the like morale up and like energy up.
Okay, so and with softball, I imagine it's that much. There's a lot of importance being hinged on how positive you guys are and how confident you guys are.
Yes.
Okay. Who do you think, you mentioned Taylor Dames and all those as the loud ones and really kind of bring the confidence. When you guys are down and feeling down a little bit, is there kind of one go-to person? Is that Taylor?
I mean, yeah, it's mostly just like when we're down, it's everyone has to like be like, all right, like we're done, like pick yourself up. But we're also like helping each other to be picked up. It's not, I don't consider it to be one specific person to pick the whole team up.
You guys back at it again tomorrow. We asked Paige a little bit about St. Charles, and you also grew up in that area too. So is it kind of fun for you to go out and play them, knowing that you know a few of the people on the team?
Oh, yeah, it's always fun. Just a couple of people I played high school ball with, or just seen around the field. So it's always fun.
Little trash talk going back and forth?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Some text messages or something before?
Yeah.
Kaylee, yourself, do you know what you're studying here before? Just a couple minutes left, but you know what you're studying?
Yeah, I'm going to go into sports training.
Sports training. Okay, so at what level are you thinking you want to go? High school, college, professional?
I'm trying to go a little college, maybe high school. I'm not really sure right now.
Okay, just kind of see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your plan set for next year?
I'm committed to Missouri Baptist, play softball.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. When did that come around?
Oh, it was, I think, in the winter sometime. I'm not really sure. Around January.
Okay. You excited to get an opportunity to play a couple more years?
Yeah. I don't want to say goodbye to sport.
Yeah, especially get an opportunity to play nearby, too.
Yes, definitely.
How important is that to knowing that, you know, friends and family can, you know, Coach Cook can come on up and check you guys out?
It's always nice to see supporters. Really glad to be by my mom and my brother, so it's always nice.
For you, yourself, personally, you know, we asked a little bit about the team, but what do you think you're going to need to continue to do at the plate and in the field and things of that nature to help contribute to some wins here as you guys get set for oh boy, region play coming up just a couple weeks.
Yeah, me and Emma Pardo are on the bench. We're always trying to dance and cheer on the team. So we're always on there, so we always try to keep it up. I always, on the plate, I'm going to need to keep calm and keep everything out of my mind.
Okay, so just kind of stay fresh and stay loose, and then when your name's called and you get out there for an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. Hey, Kaylee, anything you'd like to add, or are you all set?
I'm good.
Awesome. All right. Thanks very much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
That's sophomore Kaylee Sheridan joining us here on the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF, and that will do it. It's going to wrap up this edition. You just joined us, tuned in late. You want to listen back because it was so good? You can do so at mymoinfo.com in just a couple of hours or so. You can follow us on Twitter at KJF Sports, and we will get that updated for you shortly. Madeline Gilbert, she's got your news coming up in just a few moments.